We present The Unbelievable Truth, the panel game built on truth and lies. In the chair, please welcome David Mitchell.
Hello and welcome to The Unbelievable Truth, the panel show about incredible truths and barely credible lies. I'm David Mitchell. As for our panel, well, if you want to be entertained by a classy quartet, you really should switch to Radio 3. So instead, please welcome Angela Barnes, Mark Steele, Ria Lina and Alan Davis. The rules are as follows. Each panellist will present a short lecture that should be entirely false, save for five hidden truths which their opponent should try to identify. Points are scored by truths that go unnoticed, while other panellists can win points if they spot a truth, or lose points if they mistake a lie for a truth. First up is Angela Barnes. Angela has won 9 separate episodes of Richard Osman's House of Games, taking home a fondue set, a decanter, a set of luggage, a cool bag, matching goblets, a dartboard and a cocktail shaker. Her ambition is to go on one more time and win the coveted golden skip to put them all in. Angela, your subject is wheels, circular objects that revolve on an axle and are used to make vehicles or parts of machines move. Off you go, Angela. Fingers on buzzers, the rest of you.
Patented in 2001, the wheel is one of the most exciting inventions of the 21st century so far. And many of us have now forgotten our lives before the wheel came along. How until 2007 we used to travel to work on a giant conveyor belt when unicycles were just pogo sticks. And DJ Nicky Campbell hosted the country's most popular TV game show, Sledge of Fortune. I was a champion roller dancer in my youth, gaining a grade 7 in roller disco and a grade 9 in roller jazz. The first roller skates were invented by a violin maker when he accidentally stepped into a half-finished violin, skidded along the floor and thought, there's something in this.
Alan.
Invented by a violin maker.
You're absolutely right. Roller skates were invented in 1759 by the Belgian musical instrument maker and inventor Joseph Merlin, who had the idea of making a spectacular entrance on his new invention at a grand costume ball held in London's Soho Square. According to one contemporary account, quote, not having provided the means of retarding his velocity or commanding its direction, he impelled himself against a mirror of more than £500 value, dashed it to atoms, broke his instrument to pieces, and wounded himself most severely. And you'd think that would have been it for roller skating.
Instead, they banned mirrors.
Here are some genuinely and weirdly useful household inventions. Maybe I could interest you in a duvet on wheels that makes it easier to snatch it back from your duvet-hogging partner. An alarm clock on wheels that, if you don't wake up on time, runs away and hides, so you have to get your lazy ass out of bed to find it.
Ria.
I want one. Yes, that. There's also an alarm clock that's a baseball and you can throw it against the wall to make it shut up.
Well, you're absolutely right about this one. The alarm clock on wheels exists. It's known as Clocky. According to the advertising blurb, waking up early is hard. Clocky will jump from your nightstand 3 feet high, wheel on carpet or wood floors and hide. He moves far away from your bed. You have to find him to turn off his super loud, annoying alarm.
Or a lazy Karen, which is like a lazy Susan, but instead of using it to share food, you share unsolicited opinions. Samsonite, the company that invented the wheelie suitcase and the wheelie bin, were disappointed with the sales of their wheelie briefcase and wheelie handbag. But they did have a modest success with their wheelie coffin, which allows a single mourner to make their way to the graveside, trundling their loved one behind them. Celebrities who have recognised the multi-purpose nature of the wheel include Johnny Vegas, who has adapted the spare wheel for his VW Golf to double as a pottery wheel.
Mark.
Yeah, he's done that, Johnny Vegas.
No. He is a potter, apparently. He has
yeah,
done
he is
pottery.
A potter, yeah.
He's exhibited his pottery, but it wasn't.
That's why I said that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was very, very unfair of you.
There's a skill to this game that I've not quite grasped. Is it?
Jamie Oliver, who has a specially customised Land Rover that can make butter and ice cream in the wheel drum, and Fat Boy Slim, Norman Cook, whose bespoke DJ decks are made from the wheels of his son's first bicycle.
Alan.
I'd go for the Fat Boy Slim one.
No.
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 Plausible, isn't it?
Yeah, it'd be plausible. You're sort of a nice...
He's got a son.
Nice story.
I'm not falling for that Oliver one.
And Salvador Dali's famous melting clock faces were inspired by a wheel of camembert that had been left out in the sun.
Rhea.
Yeah, that one. That one sounds fun. I like that idea. You know how camembert has that weird bacteria in it that does something to your brain, and then he just went, whoa, clocks. And then he went chasing them around the room because they were beeping.
Sorry, what? Camembert's got what in it? What's it
well,
got in it?
Well, camembert's going extinct because the bacteria in it, and it does good things, but it's running out.
Going extinct? It doesn't occur naturally.
They're putting the camemberts together in zoos, in special in special reserves in Kenya, yeah. And they just won't mate.
you know that camembert isn't a bear?
Anyway, Dali, camembert, clocks.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. Salvador Dali revealed that the idea for the melting clock faces depicted in paintings such as The Persistence of Memory, which some have described as, quote, an unconscious symbol of the relativity of space and time and a surrealist meditation on the collapse of our notions of a fixed cosmic order, came to him after he watched a wheel of camembert cheese melt in the sun. Thank you, Angela. And at the end of that round, Angela, you've managed to smuggle two truths past the rest of the panel, which are that the wheel was patented in 2001. The wheel, or more specifically, a circular transportation facilitation device, was patented in Australia by John Keogh, a patent lawyer, in an attempt to demonstrate how flawed his country's new fast-track, low-cost patent system was. The Australian Patent Office proved his point by granting the patent. And the second truth is that Jamie Oliver has a specially customised Land Rover that can make butter and ice cream in the wheel drum. Land Rover.
I knew it. I knew it. Yeah.
Land says here, Land Rover teamed up with Jamie Oliver. They just teamed up for fun. Just one of those phrases. We've teamed up with the guys at Andrex to see how squelchy your shit has become. We've teamed up to address world poverty by telling you our name again and again and again. We've teamed up with dentists to decide how many teeth you really need. It's an immediate sign someone is bullshitting you.
It's brilliant when he gets angry.
But anyway, Angela, on the plus side, that means you've scored 2 points.
Thank you.
OK, we turn now to Mark Steele. Mark was adopted at 10 days old and brought up in Kent. I probably should have checked he already knew that. Mark, your subject is cows. Large, domesticated bovines, commonly raised for meat, dairy products or for leather. Off you go, Mark.
Mum, you should have told me. Proper British people eat cows every day, especially men. Not only cow sausages, but cow tea, cow taramasalata and pickled cow onions, because we're British. We're not one of those woke countries like Holland where cows are allowed to avoid being milked if they identify as a horse. Or Norway, where dairy cows are given a mattress to lie on and eat gluten-free grass, and a therapist asks them, when you were told you were going to be chopped up and sold at Burger King, how did that make you feel? And in Sweden, you have to call...
Alan.
Sorry, Mark. About the adoption.
Well, I'm being professional and I'm soldiering on.
Do they give mattresses to cows in Norway?
They do! Yes. Well, researchers believe lying on the soft surface of a mattress increases blood volume through the udders, and that allows cows to produce around 5% more milk while also reducing udder infections.
And in Sweden, you have to call cows legged, grass-chewing, bovine quadrupeds, or LGBQ for short. In Scotland, it's illegal to be drunk in charge of a cow. And in Finland, a cow won a poetry competition as her moos were interpreted as an expression of her hopeful, yet somehow melancholic yearning for the love of the bull that lived in the next field.
Rhea.
Oh, I'm regretting this already, now that I think it through. I was going to say Scotland, and you can't be drunkenly in charge of a cow, but then who does that leave to be in charge of the cows?
Well, you're absolutely right, though. Yeah. According to the Licensing Act of 1872, it's an offence in Scotland to be drunk while in charge of a cow, horse, carriage or steam engine, or while in the possession of a loaded firearm.
Royal cows on the Windsor estate sleep on waterbeds in a cow shed that's fully carpeted, although they do have to share it with Prince Andrew, as that's where he's made to, where he's made to sleep these days. Cow dung has now won the esteemed Dung of the Year award 5 years running. During the Second World War, it was used in mascara. It's been used in production of vinyl for records and the...
Angela.
Do you know what? I was going to say cow dung mascara, then I thought of the infections that that would cause. I've said it now.
You have said it.
Yeah.
Now you've committed a buzz.
I have.
So I can't let you take that back or this game will become trivial.
Radio 4.
No, absolutely. No, I'm afraid that's not true.
Yeah, no, I knew that.
In Northern Ireland, it was used to stuff cushions, and their assembly building was covered in the dung to make it camouflaged. And as a result, the Luftwaffe left the Stormont Parliament building alone, but Hitler did make plans to use the building as a compost heap once he'd invaded.
Angela.
Did they cover Stormont in dung?
They did!
Yeah.
Yes!
Did they put the cows up there?
During the Second World War, the Northern Ireland Assembly Building was covered in cow manure and bitumen to camouflage it from enemy attack. After the war, the dung and bitumen mixture took 7 years to remove, and the exterior facade never regained its original white colour.
The list of people who have been attacked by cows includes David Dickinson during an episode of Bargain Hunt, Prime Minister Gladstone on a country walk in an incident often blamed for his failure to give home rule to Ireland, and Snoop Dogg, who wrote about it in his lyrics. Hear my vow, my Uzi make you go kapow, then it's chow cow, you're a beef biryani now.
Rhea.
Gladstone.
Correct.
Oh.
Prime Minister William Gladstone was injured after being knocked down by a mad cow while walking in the grounds of Harden Castle. The cow was shot dead by Tom Bailey, the licensee of the nearby Castle Inn. In recognition, Mr. Gladstone had the head of the cow mounted on a piece of wood from a tree he himself had felled and presented it to Mr. Bailey. So that's a nice touch. And that is actually the end of Mark's lecture. And at the end of that round, Mark, you've managed to smuggle one truth past the rest of the panel. And that truth is that royal cows on the Windsor estate sleep on waterbeds.
No.
This is a report for BBC's Country File. Viewers were astonished to learn that the... And not a regular occurrence when watching Country File. They were astonished to learn that the royal cows sleep on their own waterbeds. The beds are intended to de-stress the animals. And that means, Mark, you've scored 1 point. Blowing air into a cow's vagina will make it produce more milk. This is known as cow blowing. Officer. Next up is Rhea Lena. Rhea, your subject is condiments. Edible substances such as sauces that are added to food, typically after cooking, to enhance its flavour. Off you go, Rhea.
Worcestershire sauce was originally marketed as a cure-all for troubled marriages.
Angela.
Was it marketed as a sort of marriage saviour?
No. How would that have worked?
Save my marriage.
Well, you should. Maybe you should get involved in advertising.
Team up with them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Someone will blow you up the vagina. And someone else...
You're calling me a cow.
Yeah. Backtracking.
A company in China once made a type of soy sauce using human hair. They made dark soy, light soy, and after a visit to Scotland, ginger soy.
Mark.
Oh. So bad at this. Yes, the Chinese did that, even though they clearly, obviously didn't.
The human hair in soy sauce? Mm. Absolutely right. Yeah. According to a 2004 programme on the state-run China Central Television, a company called Hongshui Soy Sauce were discovered to be buying cheap amino acid syrup used in the manufacture of soy sauce from a company that created their amino acid syrup from human hair collected from barbershop floors, hospitals and salons. In response, the Chinese government banned this kind of soy sauce production. The amino acids in human hair can be used to make a condiment with a flavour similar to that of the usual soy variety. So, I don't see the problem, really. As long as it, you know, doesn't give you diarrhoea, then it doesn't matter if it's got human hair in it, does it? Carry on, Ria.
Many foods have recently been found to contain much higher levels of protein than initially thought, including Dijon mustard, which contains mustard mites, vinegar, which contains vinegar eels, and scorpion singer hot sauce, which contains the venom from actual scorpions.
Oh, God.
Angela.
Second one? not the mustard and not the scorpion, the other one.
Vinegar.
Yeah, go on.
You're absolutely right. in fact, it's... raw apple cider vinegar contains tiny non-parasitic worms called vinegar eels. They're actually tiny nematodes, which grow to a maximum of 2 millimetres long, and they're harmless. Commercially produced vinegars are usually filtered to remove them. But they're harmless.
The U.S. Food and Drug Administration considers 30 fly eggs quite acceptable in 100 grams of tomato paste as long as it's sold with a spider, a bird, a cat, a dog, a cow, and a horse. Of course.
Angela.
Do the FDA find that number of eggs in a tomato paste acceptable?
They do find that number. Well done, yes.
Oh, the audience don't want to applaud because they're vomiting at the same time.
According to the Public Health Service of the Food and Drug Administration in America, a 100-gram sample of tomato paste can legally contain an average of 30 fly eggs or 15 or more fly eggs and one or more maggots or two or more maggots in a minimum of 12 subsamples. So, I mean, nothing could be perfect, can it? You know.
You'll eat anything, won't you, David? Yeah.
I won't eat. I don't like oysters.
But you'll eat the hair off the floor of the barbers.
if it's been nicely prepared.
Yeah. The French condiment sea urchin gonad sauce is made with mayonnaise, olive oil, and mashed fish testicles. Don't even try to dissuade me. That's now the only way I eat fish testicles. We all know that liking pineapple on pizza will get you banned from dating apps, but mentioning guacamole on your dating profile gets you 144% more responses. Mentioning mayonnaise will get you 256% more responses, and mentioning gravy wins the entire app.
Angela.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but does mentioning guacamole get you more responses?
You're absolutely right. A 2017 study by the online dating site Zoosk discovered that mentioning guacamole resulted in a 144% increase in messages received.
Has it got any figures on how it affects how many likes you get if you mention that you like eating soy sauce made out of human hair?
And that's the end of Rhea's lecture. And at the end of that round, Rhea, you have also smuggled one truth past the rest of the panel, which is that the French condiment, sea urchin gonad sauce, is made with mayonnaise, olive oil and mashed fish testicles. Sea urchin meat is comprised entirely of gonads. In fact, two-thirds of the average urchin is made up of testes and ovaries. So, it's not like they've picked out the... It's different, isn't it? If you're mainly gonad, it's not the same. For a human, a gonad is quite a small part. So it feels perverse to go for it. But if a sea urchin, you have to actively avoid the gonad. So there's nothing weird here. And that, Rhea, means you've scored 1 point.
You don't want the gonad, just eat round it.
It's now the turn of Alan Davis. Your subject, Alan, is toys, objects typically played with by infants or children, which are often miniature representations of familiar things. Off you go, Alan.
In 2005, when America's National Toy Hall of Fame updated its illustrious list, it rejected as toys the cardboard box, the blanket, and bubbles. However, the updated list of playthings does now include mud, food, and genitalia.
Angela.
Did they take away bubbles? Did they say bubbles weren't toys?
No, they didn't. No. The cardboard box, the blanket and bubbles are all included in America's National Toy Hall of Fame. I mean, I suppose they've just tried to list everything that's played with.
And that, well, then people, genitalia.
Yeah, that might be accurate, but at the same time, is that right for the vibe? You know, I expect my sense is that the American National Toy Hall of Fame might have teamed up with various toy manufacturers, which wouldn't be that keen on, you know, penises and vaginas being mentioned all the time alongside Lego and Mr. Potato Head.
So it's just that the rest of this show has been very gonad heavy. Yeah.
Disaster struck Pixar Studios during the making of Toy Story 2 when halfway through production, the entire work was accidentally deleted. The culprit was never discovered, though police did find traces of plasticine on the delete key.
Rhea.
Yeah, I can believe someone deleted that drive. We've all done that. We didn't save it. You know, you go home and you didn't click save and then you're working on Windows and then...
Yeah, and in this case, they didn't click save on Toy Story 2. it's absolutely right. During the production of Toy Story 2, this was back in the late 90s, an animator cleaning up some files one day accidentally deleted most of the team's 2 years of work on the film.
Oh, imagine having to make that phone call.
They were saved by the fact that a female producer on the film, Galin Sussman, was working from home after having a baby and had taken a backup of the movie home with her, saving Pixar owners Disney millions of dollars. In May 2023, Sussman and 75 other Pixar employees were made redundant by Disney in a cost-cutting drive.
It was the writer Geoffrey Chaucer noticing his pet cat toying with a mouse, which gave him the idea of providing toys to entertain his own 7 children. His idea caught on, and generations of children grew up happily playing with half-dead mice until proper toys were invented by Arnold Hamley in 1523.
Rhea.
Did Chaucer give his kids toys?
No. He didn't provide them with dead mice to play with because he noticed that a cat liked them. So.
Have you read his work?
No, it's all in gobbledygook, isn't it?
Waitrose have a motto. A happy animal is a tasty animal. In fact, farmers in the UK are required by law to provide their pigs with toys, the hot favourite being My Little Porker.
Angela.
Do pigs have to be provided with toys by law?
They do.
Yeah. Angela,
do you know everything? Since 2003, it has been a legal requirement in the UK and Europe for pigs to have toys in their styes in order to promote mental stimulation, physical activity and overall well-being.
Engineer Jack Ryan, who designed the Sparrow and the Hawk missile systems, went on to patent his design for the Barbie doll. The first version of Barbie wore a pink cocktail dress and had a range of 15,000 miles carrying a 5-megaton nuclear payload.
Mark.
The guy who did the missile then went on to make the Barbie doll.
You're absolutely right, yes. After graduating from Yale, Jack Ryan worked for the US aerospace company Raytheon, developing the Sparrow and Hawk missile systems before joining Mattel as a designer, where he was responsible for the Barbie doll, Hot Wheels, and Chatty Cathy. In 1956, when Mattel co-owner Ruth Handler returned from a European holiday with a German-designed Built Lily doll, she and Ryan worked on producing a similar doll for the American market. The two later disputed which of them was chiefly responsible both for the doll's name and design. Handler said Barbie was named after her daughter. Ryan claimed she was named after his wife. Ryan and the Lily doll's manufacturers both sued Mattel, who settled both cases out of court.
It makes the whole Barbie Oppenheimer thing make sense, doesn't it?
That's exactly.
Poop Patrol Barbie had a pet Labrador. After feeding the dog, you'd crank his tail until the food fell out of his bum. You could pair Poop Patrol Barbie with Poop Patrol Ken, who had a spring-loaded arm that let him throw the bag of dog poop up into the branches of the nearest tree.
Angela.
I think there's a Poop Patrol Barbie.
There is! Yes! Yes.
In 1950s America, the Atomic Energy Lab Kit was more than just a toy. It was actually radioactive, with real samples of uranium and radium for children to play with and even do experiments. After the atomic lab was banned, their TV commercial, showing children glowing brightly on their way to school, was picked up and used by Ready Breck. In 1893, German farmer Ernst Kinder fed his chickens on past-their-sell-by-date cornflakes, not realising that each packet contained a small plastic toy as a gift. When his chickens began laying eggs with little plastic toys inside them... Kinder had a brainwave which he turned into a million-dollar business.
Thank you, Alan. And at the end of that round, Alan, you've also smuggled one truth past the rest of the panel, which was that in 1950s America, the Atomic Energy Lab Kit was more than just a toy. It was actually radioactive with real samples of uranium and radium for children to play with and even do experiments. The $49.50 set came with samples of four uranium-bearing ores, as well as a Geiger radiation counter and various other tools. In 2006, Radar magazine dubbed the Atomic Energy Lab one of the 10 most dangerous toys of all time.
Yeah, but David, if you gave one to your son at Christmas, his face would really light up.
And that means that, Alan, you've scored 1 point. In the 16th century in the Philippines, the yo-yo was used by hunters as a weapon. It was perfect for hunting an animal that sat completely still, directly below the yo-yo, waiting to be killed on the 6th or 7th attempt. Which brings us to the final scores. In fourth place, with minus 2 points, it's Alan Davis. In third place, with minus 1 point, it's Mark Steele. In second place with 3 points, it's Angela Barnes. And in first place with an unassailable 4 points, it's this week's winner, Rialina. That's about it for this week. Goodbye.
The Unbelievable Truth is devised by John Naismith and Graham Garden and featured David Mitchell in the chair with panellists Angela Barnes, Mark Steele, Rialina and Alan Davis. The chairman's script was written by Dan Gaster and Colin Swash and the producer was John Naismith. It was a random production for BBC Radio 4.